Welcome to Identity Church Sunday Morning Message, where our sonship is revealed. Stay tuned at the end of this message to receive more information about resources available through Identity Church. Now grab your Bible, sit back, and enjoy a message from Identity Church that is already in progress.
You know, prophets are crazy. And one just stood up here. One of the things that we do as prophets, sometimes God shows us times and season and numbers and things. And he was running his mouth for, drove us crazy in Louisiana with the number 70 and the number this. We're like, shut up. You look 70. But we love him. We love him. And you know, being prophetic, I understand the significance of that. It's, you know, the Issachar anointing understands the times and season, what Israel should do. And that's part of the prophet's responsibility, is to understand the times and seasons, because I believe we can absolutely narrow down and pinpoint what God is doing when others can't. So we went into the end of 2017. I started talking to this body about July and August, that changes was happening, that we're going to shift the structure of the house and build what God told us to build, how to build it. And the problem was, I still had unwritten blueprints, but I knew change was coming. I know the word of the Lord. I know when I hear God, I know what God has deposited in me, and he has supernaturally given me confidence that I speak with boldness today. The blueprint that he called me to draw and to build is from heaven. And man doesn't like it sometimes when God comes in and starts restructuring your house, especially when he makes you move your seat, kill certain gifting, and find God in a different dimension than you've ever seen him before. But if we're going to keep doing the same thing, we'll have the same results. But God is turning things upside down. Kathy Walton had a vision where the ship was turned upside down. Some people stayed on, some people fell off. If you look around, there's some people that have fallen off. I hope they can swim. But the ship is turning upright. And God is giving me a clear vision, a clear purpose. You know, he said the end of 2017, I don't want you in the pulpit for 40 days. 40 is a very significant number prophetically. It's a generation. And I've been a little irritated with the Lord, and I ask hard questions like, how come I'm so stubborn and it takes me so long to get somewhere? And he gave me my own list, and it's none of your business. I'm working on my list. You work on yours. But last night, as I put these things together, he says to me, what is Wednesday? I said, Wednesday is my oldest son's birthday. He's 40 years old. 40 is a significant number. That's a generational number. That's a family number. If you know mine and Susie's story, Jason's birth came from a place of lack of covenant. He's 40. We've been married 38 years, 38, 37. A long time. What I'm saying is, it started off with a broken covenant or no covenant. And by God's grace and God's mercy, we've recovered that. And so then he tells me that. Then he goes into count the days of 2018 in the 70 days. I had seven people in this church come to me on a Sunday a few weeks ago and told me separately, God was pleased with your obedience. God is pleased with your obedience. God is pleased with your obedience. After seven times, seven people, I said, Lord, what the heck are you telling? What did I do right? He said, you've been patient. You refuse to preach out of principle because you wanted my presence. You know, we live our Christian life out of principle when we've lost the presence. So we started off on the last Sunday of 2017, Luke Scott preached. He spoke about being a soldier and how to build, be part of a militia. He told us that we are champions. See, I haven't been in this pulpit, but I'm telling you what God has. And as I've been sitting back, letting my gift rest, God has sent gifts to the house with messages. After that, Bill Vanderbush came on Wednesday, the new Reformation. It's not a revival, it's a reformation. Ron Culver preached on intimacy or spiritual bankruptcy. Check your account. Then he spoke on intimacy and urgency. We're in the middle of a teaching on that. Dr. Phil Casterline said, leave the crowd to become more than faithful, become loyal. Karen Robertson, she preached on cleansing wins with security clearance. Some of you will never get your security clearance unless you let God wash you. Elder Mike Shannon preached on pathways to peace. The following week, Philip Wassenaar, an evangelist, came and gave us scriptures. Do you not say that there are yet 4 months, then comes the harvest? Look, I will tell you, lift up your eyes and see the fields are white with harvest. Elder Rodney Madison preached, praise until you worship, worship until the glory comes, and then stand in his glory. Dan Collins went to Ghana, a mission trip, door-to-door witnessing with Muslim in Muslim towns. And he said, basically, go back to the basics. The cross is the basics. It starts at the cross. Ron Culver preached again, the earth is shaking. The word and the spirit will collide for the glory of the Lord. The earthquake in Alaska affected the water, the well water in Florida. He prophesied that. He prophesied ignorance of, don't be ignorant, walk in holiness. Don't be ignorant of the holy. The opposite of holy is being ordinary. Don't take what is special and treat it as ordinary. Holiness has a voice. It is not an echo. Gary Walton said, let us alone. He spoke on deliverance and getting back to the basics. To go back to the basics, scripture, prayer, fasting, discerning of spirits between holy and unclean. On-the-job training is going to help us overcome. Ryan Bastris came. Boy, that was close. He preached on break up with tolerance. Then he preached groundbreaking. Break up the fallow ground. Get rid of the hard ground and go deep. Brad Gilman preached change. It's necessary, painful, rewarding, and worth it. Stop being an old wineskin and prepare for new wine. Karen Robertson again preached on are you flexible? If you're flexible, you won't get bent out of shape. Jonathan Landis preached about the table. What seat at the table are you sitting in? Some of us haven't even signed up to sit at the table. Bill Vanderbush came back and preached on the ark. And basically, you are the ark of God. Karen Simmons did a corporate prayer walk, strategies to go after restoring our city. Tim Hines preached, it's time to see the prophets. To see what the prophets are hearing. Unsettled sonship, that is where most of our issues are rooted. Then he preached, God does his best work in the dark or in a hidden season. That's what has been preached from this pulpit in the last 70 days. And I didn't have a part to play in that. Well, yeah, I did. I let you. I prayed. Yeah, everything happened because I prayed. Ron was telling me all the great success he had in Alaska. And I said, well, that's because I prayed for you. So I instantly took all the credit. I'm going to share with you some things, the vision of my heart that has really kind of caught me off guard. Our theme is that we're building a militia. Have we caught that yet? Are you part of the militia? Are you part of what God's doing? Are you part of what God's doing here? I'm not saying that we're exclusive. He's doing it everywhere. But I know my part here, and my part in this city, my part in the region. And I'm going to start building according to the blueprint that he's given me. It's interesting that on the 26th of December, the day after Christmas, I had a vision. I've known that things were changing. I know that God was saying to build a training center, get the structure in place, put elders in place. I understand the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, pastor, and teacher. They have a place, but when they're out of place, they're dangerous. And I believe God has given me the structure on how to apply the fivefold ministry within the eldership of this house. I have a very clear of what I feel, what I see, and what I'm going to build. I'm seeing it come to a point. I'll tell you, the security of what I saw came when Elder Mike Shannon said he'd step into the seat of the fivefold pastor. We had me as an apostle, Ron as a prophet, and him as a pastor. Once you have three, you have enough government to start building. That morning he said, yes, my spirit jumped, and I have felt like I had something to start building around. We have evangelists and we have teachers that are going to sit in the fivefold and we're going to bring the saints to maturity. That's what we're building here. I had this original dream on May the 10th, 2013, and it was a corporate word, and I put this word together on May the 10th, 2013. But on December 26, 2017, I had the vision of the dream, and it was about me. And I said to the Lord, that's pretty interesting. He says, yeah, it takes you a while to grow up. I don't think you're any different. God puts stuff in us. He kind of like spiritually dangles that carrot. Just like he said to me, I met Jack Taylor. He was preaching one time, and the Holy Spirit said, hey, see that guy there? I said, yeah, he's going to be your spiritual father. When you come to enough maturity, I can trust you with him. It was 7 or 8 years later before I finally met him, and he became my spiritual father. And I'm thinking, man, am I slow? 7 years it took to come to maturity. So listen, I think we all need to understand, as we come to maturity, I prophesied over Mike. I saw the certificate. I saw his faithfulness. God's getting ready to wreck his world. Y'all need to pray for him. That was fun until he has to deal with it. So here's the vision, and I'm going to lay it out, and then I'm going to go into some scriptural structure. I was praying this morning. I had a vision about me and Identity Church. I had this same dream, corporate dream, on May the 10th, 2013. I saw myself in a dark place where this thick darkness was trying to overcome me. I was working on a flashlight. Susie, can you put that up, the first one? I was working on a flashlight that was intermittently working. The old kind, not the new LED flashlights. I was shaking the flashlight to get the batteries to make connection. It was black with an orange lens cone to be used to direct traffic. I was frustrated because it was used normally to direct traffic, but let very little light out of the end. When I looked on the inside pockets of my camouflage pants, the kind of pants that an army soldier has with pocket compartments down both legs for supplies for survival. That flashlight frustrated me because I don't want to direct traffic. But welcome to the ministry. I pulled out other flashlights on these pockets that I had used in the past. I had a red one with a white switch. You can go to the next one. It was square looking. And the lens had an angle that tilted as it fit in the fist of my hand. It had ability to stand hands-free while I worked on something. It did not have the ability to have the batteries changed or to be recharged. I took a look in a long, skinny, camouflage Army-issue flashlight that had a swivel head. It worked like a periscope on a submarine. I heard myself say, when this used to work, I could look around corners and see the enemy coming and never be surprised. I wish this would work again. As I was scavenging around looking for a way out of the darkness, I stumbled into an old lantern-style flashlight with a big cell battery as part of its flashlight. With the discovery of this old miner's looking light, I started to talk about the past and come to the revelation that I was in an old miner's cave and that I had built it years ago looking for glory gold for the kingdom. As I turned the old miner's light on, it was very dim, but it worked. The fact that it worked gave me great hope. Even with the very dim light, I started to go deeper into the back of the cave. As I went deeper into the cave, I started reading the thoughts of my mind. I said that years ago, I felt like there was more glory gold in this cave, and it always felt like maybe I had pulled up short in my search and never found the mother lode. I have always known that there was more glory gold than what was found or being released to the body of Christ. But as I looked in the same places I had mined before, looking for glory gold, as I pushed past the darkness and the depression, the walls got smaller and the dim light looked very, very little, with only a small flicker in comparison to the great darkness. Off into the distance in the very back part of the cave, there was an open room that opened up where I started to see a light coming from around a large rock. It was big and almost flat on the surface. It was big enough to stand on, but the light was coming from underneath the rock. I then heard the Lord tell me, "Upon this rock, I will build my church." When I heard those words, I dropped the miner's lamp and ran and stood on the rock with light coming out from around the base of the rock. It looked like a mini platform made out of rock supported by light. The Lord started telling me how proud of me he was, about how I had become an ambassador of the kingdom, even when it wasn't the newest and coolest revelation. He said he was very proud of me. God was slobbering all over me on how proud of me he was. You know, when Tim preached that message last Sunday, sometimes he does his best work in the dark. It's like, wow. Sometimes it's in your darkness you find out the goodness of God. When you can't hold on to anything else because you can't see. And you learn to know how good he is. It wasn't a coincidence we were singing that he's good today. As I stood there worshiping on this rock, Jesus came and stood in front of me. As I stood on this rock being held up by light from underneath it, two angels stood beside Jesus. Jesus told the angels to remove the stone. I looked with disbelief that Jesus was removing the rock that I was standing on. The Lord laughed at me and said, "No, not that stone, this one." As he pointed, there was a large round stone sitting in the middle of my belly. As the angels moved the stone from in front of my belly, Jesus crawled inside of me. At that moment, the rock with which I was standing gave way, and I fell about 50 feet into an open-air stage. It was an open-air amphitheater, so the whole nation was looking up into the side of the mountain of the Lord. The stage was for all to see. When I landed on the stage, the rock that I had been standing on exploded into a million pieces. I then heard the Lord say, "Charlie, upon this rock, I will build my church." I heard the words, "Light, lights, camera, action." I was instantly redressed with very futuristic looking military dress, like a Star Trek looking uniform. Very precise with supernatural fabric for protection and flexibility. On the side pockets of this uniform were small and more compact LED flashlights. And I had one large mag light. Next one, Sue. One large mag light. Its beam was adjustable from spotlight to floodlight by merely turning the lens. There was also smaller versions of a mag light that was being used in a smaller places of ministry and where these were loanable to others as I saw fit. I had several pockets full of these mini mags. They were as versatile as the Big Mag with only a little less brightness. I then saw a huge pocket full of LED discs for general lighting that were in my pockets on the sides of my uniform. I asked, what is a mag light? The Lord said it stands for man and God working together as an LED, a light emitting deity. That's me and you, son. The Lord then gave me instructions on how to light the pathway with a disc LED lights for others to be able to make the journey easier for others than it was for me. Then worship started. I started to let out light from my belly. It started off small, then it increased into a huge beam of light. I had light coming out of my hands. I was able to point with my hands and light around the corner like that old flashlight. Also, I could make the light a spotlight. At the same time, I could give you general lighting. As the meeting was finishing, I was taken backstage in a stairwell that was very dark, and very few wanted to follow me. I looked back at only a few, and I told them to light the way for others to learn about the journey and the art of being a glory gold miner for the kingdom. And then I gave part of my team some of the disc lights in the mini mags to light the path for training others to become what God had called them to be. The darkest part of the cave that was so hard for me in the past had been remodeled and refurbished and was full of life and joy with lots of color. It had become the life center of kingdom relationships. This was a corporate dream on May 10th, 2013. Back then, the Lord said, I want you to release this corporately. It's taken a long time to actually have it be me. But here's what it meant. God gave me these numbers to prove the word. He asked, what does the number 5 mean? 5 is for the month of May. I said, it's grace. What does the number 10 mean? Completion of eternal cycles, kind of like 70 days. He said, in the days of Noah, so are they. Here's what he said. The ground is dry enough to turn the animals loose from the ark of control from the past season. Noah was the 10th generation from Adam. Genesis 5:10, after he begot Canaan, Enoch lived 850 years and had sons and daughters. He said, keep building on the father-son paradigm. Exodus 5:10, and the taskmasters of the people and their officers went out and spoke to the people saying, thus says Pharaoh, I will not give you straw. Here's what he said. People are coming from evil taskmasters and need healing. Hidden wounds are coming to the surface. That's why deliverance and inner healing are going to be an intricate part of this house. Leviticus. Levi 5:10. And he shall offer the second as a burnt offering according to the prescribed manner. So the priest shall take atonement on behalf of his sin which he committed, and it shall be forgiven him. He says, continue to bring deliverance and healing and forgiveness out of the priestly offices that we're going to walk in. Numbers 5:10, every man's holy things shall be his. Whatever any man gives to the priest shall be his. He said to speak to the finances and tell them to increase so that the priest of the house can be taken care of. Three flashlights of grace, Isaiah 55:5. Surely you shall call a nation you do not know, and nations who do not know you shall run to you, because the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. This house is walking in a new anointing. This house is starting to walk in the glory of the Lord, and we are going to be an attractant for different nations, different groups, different languages, different people. The ones that are broken, the ones that are whole. because he's putting glory on us as a house. Revelation 5:10, he made us kings and priests to our God, and he shall reign, and we shall reign on the earth. Charlie, I've made you a king. Charlie, you'll judge when others will not judge themselves. You judge you. Jeremiah 20:13, sing to the Lord, praise to the Lord, for he has delivered the life unto the poor from the hands of the evildoer. The Lord has released us from the hand of the evildoers, and many are coming that are being released. So here's the mandate. Keep building on the Father-Son paradigm. People are coming from evil taskmasters and need healing. Continually bring deliverance and healing and forgiveness from the priestly office that we walk in. We're going to continue to speak to the finances corporately and individually. Listen, it's time to get our houses in order. We are in a season that Joseph predicted that the cows are going to get fat because there's going to be some lean stuff coming. It's time to get your houses in order financially, emotionally, spiritually, and everything else. Because God is going to bless us, but it's not for us to consume it. It's just for us to manage it properly. That was good. I know you loved me talking about your money. Keep your heart soft, loving, full of mercy, and repentance will come. And he said, he has glorified us. What does that look like? I don't know. I'll know it when I see it. I have some structures. I have some things that I know God has put on me to do. We're going to facilitate the fivefold ministry here. But we're going to push it into the body through elders that walk in the fivefold. I'm putting fivefold offices to teach, equip, train, to bring us to maturity so you could do the work of the ministry. The fivefold ministry team that we're putting together will come and teach and train for you to walk into Walmart and heal the sick, cast out devils, raise the dead. Listen, there's some people that are dying outside of God's will. Otherwise, Jesus would not tell us to go raise the dead. Because Jesus would never tell us to go do something that the Father would go against his will. There's people that are dying around us that need to live. But we are the ones who carry resurrection power. Here's the fivefold ministry. Go to Exodus chapter 30. I'm going to start at 17. This is about the atonement. This is the Old Testament version of why we do what we do. You should also make a basin of bronze with its stand of bronze for washing. Some of us just need to wash that cleansing wind. We shall put it between the tent meeting and the altar, and you shall put it water in it, with which Aaron his son shall wash their hands and their feet. Listen, if you're going to be a priest in the house, you're going to have to consecrate yourself. Say this, say, I'm coming out of the cave. Sloppy cave living ain't going to work in the next season. Because he won't share his glory with someone that's going to pervert it. Quit crying, Ron. Then they go to the tent meeting, and when they come near the altar to minister to burn a food offering to the Lord, they shall wash with water so that they may not die. They shall wash their hands and feet so they may not die. It shall be a statute forever to them, even to him and to his offspring throughout the generations. I actually did all that to get to 22. Then he says to Moses, take the finest spices, a liquid myrrh, 500 shekels, a sweet smelling cinnamon, half as much, that is 250, and 250 aromatic cane and 500 cassia, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, and a hin of olive oil. Now listen, very strategic that he picks five resources with specific amounts. And he makes an anointing oil. I'm telling you that if one of the pieces of that mixture was missing, it would have the wrong fragrance. Listen, we do not have the mature fragrance of Jesus Christ until we have the full fivefold functioning in this house. We're starting to smell a different scent. We're starting to feel a different anointing, but we ain't seen nothing yet. That was really, who said yes? I got one amen out of this corner. How about over here? Listen, what I'm telling you is we're building something according to what God's told us to do. When he gave specific instructions for certain quantities of certain spices, that when it came together, it talks about the perfumer, apothecary was one of them. Yeah. Listen, why? He wants his presence to become more important than your principles. The church has been living on old principles because the presence left. I want the presence to come and to reveal to us what mixture is lean or rich. Do we got too many prophets? Prophets, shut up and be nice. We got too much focus on evangelism and not enough of the teacher and the pastor. Listen, we are responsible for the mixture of the house. As the apostle, the senior leader, I'm responsible to put these things together. But listen, I have to lay down my opinion too. You're going to have to lay down your opinion to make sure that you're in position to be that portion of the mixture that is needed that day, that week, that month, that season. But I'm telling you, as we build according to the principles that heaven has revealed to us, we will become what God called us to be, and that is a sweet-smelling fragrance. Listen, I want you to walk into the building. I want people to walk around you and go, ooh, I smelled that before, but I only smelled it in heaven. Listen, when the fullness of the fivefold is functioning, it's safety to be everything God called you to be. It's safety to be on the national stage and still know how to walk down the hallway and find your cave of relationship that's been remodeled. Listen to this, though. And you shall make these a sacrificed anointing oil, blended as by the perfumer. It shall be a holy anointing oil. Listen to this. With it you shall anoint the tent of meeting and the ark of the testimony, and the table and all of its utensils, and the lampstand and all of its utensils, and the altar of incense, and the altar of burning offering, and all of its utensils, and the basin and its stands. You shall consecrate them that they may be most holy. Okay. So you get this mixture of anointing. We finally get the presence of God. We are all saturated with it, right? This is the New Testament fivefold gets into place. It becomes safe. You are now walking in the presence of God. Here's what he says. You consecrate that. It's his presence. You consecrate that. Here's what it says. The things that you've touched have become holy. When his presence touches you, you become holy. Come on, listen to this now. Look at the next verse. Whatever touches them will become holy. Are you telling me that when this proper mixture of God's presence touches an object, that right here, this gets touched, consecrated as holy, that whoever touches it becomes holy? When the mixture is pure, when the mixture is proper, and it's applied and consecrated, and when I say that thing is holy from now on, whoever touches that thing becomes holy. This is the New Testament. Have you felt his presence? Have you been anointed with his presence? Have you been consecrated?
then who you let touch you? Who are you going to Walmart and touching? Who are you hugging around the neck when you walk in this room? Who are you looking at and going, hey, I know you got a Harley, but will you love me because I got a Honda? See, he's got grace for me. Them Harley guys are tough, man. Who are you touching? Listen, when this mixture of his presence comes into the maturity and the fullness, whoever we touch will become holy. Is that good? Go to Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to start at verse 1. I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling which you have been called. Are you walking worthy to carry his presence? Are you walking worthy to carry the fragrance, the anointing oil, the glory? That's got to be your choice. The Lord's putting his fingers on things in my life that I've been able to get away with in the darkness of the cave that I'm not going to be able to get away with if I'm going to walk on the stage of life. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love. What he's saying there is, if you want this anointing, if you want this glory, you're going to have to walk in love. You're going to have to walk in patience. You're going to have to walk in gentleness. If it's so powerful that if anybody touches that object, they become holy, listen, it could be perverted quickly. So we're going to have to walk gentle with each other. We're going to have to walk patient with each other. This morning in Kingdom School, I talked about how to appropriate the prophecy. Quit being a prophet and become an encourager. The prophet stuff will come. Trust me, Ron will not shut up forever. That was a personal shot, and I love him. Listen, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. For there is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all in all. But grace is given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, he ascended on high to be led a host of captives, and he gave gifts unto men. Let me tell you something. The apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, pastor, and teacher, they are nothing but a gift. When you have your identity wrapped up in your gift, you have a polluted ointment. My identity is in Christ, in Christ alone. And when I walk in the office of the fivefold apostle, or the office of the fivefold prophet, or evangelist, or pastor and teacher, I am a gift surrendered to the Christ. That is not my identity. That is a place of revelation and empowerment to mature you, to help you come into the fullness of who you are. That's good preaching. Then he says, he ascended. What does it mean that he had also ascended into a lower regions of the earth? It means he fixed it all, heaven and earth. He also descended to one who was ascended from far above the heavens that he may fulfill all things. And then he says, he gave the apostles and the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints to the work of the ministry for building up the body of Christ until we all attain in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God to mature manhood, to the measure and the stature of the fullness of Christ. We are releasing the fivefold ministry in the house to function as a gift, not as an identity. We're asking for the fragrance of the Lord. the anointing to come upon us and the humility to let someone touch us and declare and decree they're holy. They're not ordinary. They're special. So that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried away by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness or deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, that we were to grow up into every way unto him who is the head, unto Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint in which it is equipped. When each part is working properly, listen to this, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Pull your report card. Where am I at with love? Where am I at with love? If you would have heard me and Susie talking as she drove me around Jacksonville, I lack a little. She drives a little crazy too. But I need to be patient and humble and sweet. The right oil will change some of these things. It's 12 o'clock. You have just witnessed another miracle.
Thank you for tuning into today's message from Identity Church. To know more about us, go to identitychurch.net, where you'll find resources such as a calendar, media, and upcoming events. You may also download an app for your mobile device from the Apple App Store or Google Play. Then from your mobile device, you can hear our messages, read from the Bible, take notes, connect with us on the social media, and even pay your tithe. Again, thank you for tuning into today's message from Identity Church.